You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Well, welcome to Sunday Coffee on a Monday morning. I'm Bart Gregory along with Charlie Winfield, and we're in the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starkville early on this Monday morning. And we're in the Farm Bureau studios. Farm Bureau, go with the home team at Farm Bureau. Check them out at favorates.com. They have agents all across the state of Mississippi. Home, life, auto, whatever you're in the market for in the insurance world, our friends at Farm Bureau. And this is Sunday Coffee presented by our friends.
No, it's not Sunday. It's Monday.
Well, it is.
And again, I remind you that this is a part of the Out of Left Field podcast franchise.
That is correct. But if you found us already, you do know that. But if you're telling your friends, make sure that they check out of Left Field, and that's where they get the Sunday coffee here on a Monday morning.
But you'd be amazed how many people have forgotten. You know, so they subscribed, they plugged in, and now they don't really realize what it is.
That they're on the Out of Left Field channel.
Yeah, we have some brand confusion.
All right, so maybe we need to hire a consultant, a firm, and let's make sure that we get all this evened out and ironed out.
Maybe we need to rebrand.
Maybe we do.
Maybe we need to go to the Out of Left Field script. We need to do away with the block Out of Left Field.
Probably. That would do it right there. That would set us apart. And, hey, we're brought to you by our friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. Strange Brew on Highway 12 and Spring Street. That's the original location. Also in Tupelo. Went by there last week and got my blueberry cobbler flavored coffee. And Strange Brew now with three locations, also in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, and they'll ship you that great coffee. All right, Charlie, it's been a Monday already, and it's first thing. The sun has just arisen on this Monday morning. We took off yesterday because it was the Easter holiday, and we play baseball Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sometimes you play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Four series in the league this year were Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We were one of the three or four that played in the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, man, I tell you what, you talk about a gut punch weekend. This was a gut punch weekend. I mean, I thought we played well. That's the bad thing. And you lose two out of three. Could have easily swept that series, but you lose two out of three.
And you start to look at the what ifs and what might have beens. And the injury to Nate Dome looms really large after this weekend. And then I think as you follow up, the question becomes for me, when he comes back, you assume he's coming back. I haven't heard that he's not. Do you put him on the back end? You know, you think back, what would you give for Landon Sims, right? You got two games that are probably different right there.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a closer away right now from sweeping that series is what you are, and you'd have won the game on Friday, you think you would have. You had a four-run lead with, you know, going the eighth inning. And then yesterday you had a one-run lead going to the bottom of the ninth inning.
Now, you're probably not. In fairness, from a hypothetical, if you did have a Landon Sims, you were probably using him for two innings on Friday.
And then
he's probably unavailable on Sunday.
And then he would not be available on Sunday. And then that's the question about Dome when he comes back. Is he a type of guy that bounces back? I mean, is he the type of guy that could throw an inning on Friday and then throw another inning on Sunday? I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't either. And you'd have to think after, you know, the injury that he's had, that you'd probably be a little more hesitant to use him on multiple times on a weekend. But nevertheless, you know, after you lose, I always go to social media and I don't say much. I just look around. And there seems to be a couple of factions that have emerged. And one is, hey, we're a lot better. And the other is, I can't believe you idiots are satisfied with being better. And there's really a middle ground here, right? Isn't
there?
I mean, objectively speaking, we are a much better team than we were the past two seasons. And while no one is satisfied with that or wanting that, at the same time, you've got to be realistic about what we're trying to come from. You're not going to fix it overnight. And right now, we have played three teams, at least coming into the season, who were recognized as being good. Now, how we got here, we don't like. How close we were to being much better, we don't like. But we're where we need to be. if you go play well this weekend. This weekend coming up becomes really big.
It's a big weekend this weekend.
You got to have 2 out of 3. Can't lose this series.
You know, you look back to the year we won the College World Series, and you start thinking about games that you've had or series that you've had where maybe you won 2 out of 3 that you were close to getting swept. We were closer to getting swept against Tulane back in 2021. We actually won 2 out of 3. We walked it off on back-to-back days on Saturday and Sunday. And so you look back at that series, and I'm sure the folks in Tulane are sitting there saying, man, dadgum, you know, we should have swept State and Starkville. But, I mean,
what's interesting is nobody remembers the games you steal the other way. They remember the ones you give away.
Right, and that's what
I'm
saying.
So I go back to – that's like I was talking about in 2004 one time in basketball. We had to have Timmy Bowers make a layup at the buzzer to beat Alabama. You had to have Timmy Bowers knock down a three-pointer on the road at the buzzer to force overtime to beat South Carolina. There's so many things. But nobody says, man, I'll tell you what, we probably didn't deserve to win the league. You always remember what should have been.
Yeah. And hey, let me tell you, a run counts just as much. One run counts just as much in the third inning as it does in the ninth. Now, I know it feels a little bit different. But sometimes when you give away a run in the third or the fourth inning, that's the run that beats you. And, I mean, you look back at the game yesterday. Man, everybody talks about pitching. I mean, we gave up 4 runs on 4 hits in a game yesterday. And one of the hits that you gave up was the home run to win it. 3 of the 4 runs that scored, a hit batsman in the third, he came around to score, a walk to lead off the sixth. The leadoff hit batsman in the third, the leadoff walk in the sixth, and the leadoff hit batsman in the ninth.
3 or 4 runs.
3 of your 4 runs. You pitched it well enough to win yesterday. And then, you know, the thing about Florida, and what did we say the other day going into the series? If you're going to win, you better get them early because Sunday's going to be tough. Caglione is a really good Sunday pitcher, and you're going to be limited to what you can do on Sunday at the plate. We only had 5 hits in a game yesterday, 3 runs on 5 hits in a game. They left 11 on the bases. And so, you know, the one to me yesterday hurts because it was, you know, the home run at the end, and it was a hit batsman to get it started. The one that really hurts to me is Friday. That's the one that stands out to you because you had an issue crop up. That's the thing about it, Charlie. I talk about the 2 hits batsman and the walk in the game yesterday. But for the most part, you know, we pitched it okay in a game yesterday. But the number of walks that you had in a game on Friday, that's what bothers you. Yesterday we had 6 strikeouts and 6 walks, and then we had 5 hit batters in a game yesterday. So you had 11 free passes in a game yesterday. So I'll take that point back a little bit. So we did get a little bit wild in that game yesterday. In the game on Friday, Cal Steven was outstanding. You didn't hit anybody, but you walked 7. So you have more free passes in the game yesterday than you did Friday, but it just seems like Friday the old issues cropped up, especially late.
And isn't that the part that kind of gets you a little bit? Is the you kind of thought you were over that? But then I go back to there's still some growing on this team that's taking place. Nolan Stevens is going to be a better pitcher because of what he went through. Hey, you look at what Cal Steven gave you. Gave you a good outing. He gave you an outing you could win with. And so that doesn't light up the board to say, wow, 6 innings, 2 runs. Man, he allowed 3 hits. Struck out 8. I can live with that. Schulke gave you some big moments on the mound this weekend. It just didn't work in a couple of places. And maybe next time it will.
You know, we've done these Twitter spaces, and I said after the game Saturday night after we'd won, is each game is different. I mean, Schulke pitches the 1 inning on Friday, and you get him out of there with a 4-run lead. And hey, you know, hindsight is, you know, 20/20 in this deal. I mean, if you'd known then what you know now, you'd probably left him in there another inning. But you also knew that without an 8-dome and you're 1 down in your pitching staff, and then you're probably going to need him again on the weekend. And so you pitch him 1 inning on Friday just to see if he can come back, and that you were able to use him 3 innings in the game yesterday because he pitched just 1 inning on Friday.
But doesn't this say a lot about fans? Because on Friday you bring in Tyler Davis, and for the first time this year he didn't have it.
Hey, Tuesday, we win this game Tuesday night on the road at Sanford because of Tyler Davis.
Yeah, and so you're making that change thinking you're going to a good arm. And then yesterday you end up with a walk-off and you have people, we should have gone to Davis. Well, wait a minute, he was the guy that walked too, guys. The other thing I was reading is people were talking about you shouldn't pitch to Caglione. I thought the hit by batter to start things.
Changed the game.
Took that away.
You don't put the winning run on base with an intentional walk. Then the next guy's going to bunt. So what happens if you put Caglione on, and then the next guy bunts a guy's over to second and third, and the next guy gets a single through the left side, and then you're going to have just as many people or more people. You're going to have more people that say, why'd you put the winning run on?
Yeah, you can't put the winning run on base.
No, you just can't. You can't do that. So
what you cannot do, though, is leave a ball over the middle of the plate in a 1-2 count. And I don't know if that was what we were looking to do, if we just missed a spot, what happened. But that –
I think he missed a spot. And so just went back and looked at it. You know, Evan Sierry, great kid. Man, just, you know, and throw
and
strikes.
Pitch well.
And pitch well, really pitch well. And we were set up inside. And to get Caglione, you got to understand, the wind was blowing a gale straight out at that ballpark. And so what's
Florida, more to right though, wasn't it?
Right, and they're trying to get lift in that situation. And with a guy like Caglione, you don't want him to get extended. We were trying to bust him in with a fastball. We were trying to run a fastball over the inside corner, and he started it on the inside corner, and it ran over the middle of the plate. And that's just one of the things. When you miss a spot, he missed a spot, and it allowed Barrel to get the ball, and that's what gets you beat. Or gives up the hit to get you beat. You had several things in there that you know, can get you beat. Only getting 5 hits in a game, those are things that get you beat. Now, let's look at the positives. Saturday, man, we crushed the ball. We really hit the ball well in the Saturday game. Dakota in this lineup, Hizak, and you know, Hizak is getting hot right now. You know, and what you're seeing right now too, Charlie, is you're seeing a few guys who, and you're going to have it through the season, that are going through a little bit of a lull at the plate right now. And the whole key is you can't have those guys bunched in together.
I think it will be really interesting to see. One, are we going to be able to play tomorrow? There is rain predicted during the day tomorrow.
And I think it's supposed to be, you know, thunderstorms late in the day tomorrow in this area.
Would it hurt your feelings if we didn't play?
We need a rain out? I can get us a rain out.
I mean, do we need a rain out?
No, I know.
I don't know that we do.
You want to say a rain out wouldn't hurt you, but we do have some pitchers that need some work. I mean, the last thing we need is Luke Dotson going 2 weeks without throwing on the mound.
And so there goes back to the question, is the thing that's keeping you from using Luke Dotson in that ball game yesterday just not knowing
what you got?
Not knowing what you got yet.
Throwing a freshman out there, because that was a knock from several folks on Friday, is, man, hey, a freshman in that situation. That was a tough situation for Nolan Stevens.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was, like you said, that's a grow-up moment right there. Stevens is going to be really good for you.
Boy, at the plate and on the mound, I think.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, so you got Georgia coming up. What's done is done. What's the old saying? You can't cry over spilt milk or whatever all those different things are. But the bottom line is you've got Georgia coming in. I think game one becomes very important. You get back to 500, you feel pretty good. Take 2 out of 3 and you end the weekend 500, you're set up in a much better spot.
Yeah, and Georgia is just really good offensively. Their pitching has really struggled, but they're pretty good at the plate. Condon has been really good for them at the plate. I mean, they've got a team offensively that can, you know, that becomes the question of who are you pitching on Friday, because that is going to turn into a really big game for you.
And you've got a third baseman returning to startable in that ball game, and that then leads me to the question of where are we at third base?
Well, I could understand. I mean, you know, bringing out Kohler on Saturday, did not play yesterday, put Nate Chester in at third. You know, Kohler is going through a little bit of a lull right now at the plate, and he's one of the guys I was talking about. He's kind of having a tough time at the plate right now. And I know, and I was seeing this the other night, and I'm not taking any shots, people. I'm not. I mean, but I'm just offering up just a counterpoint of – they'll say, you know, if he's not making plays at third, then, you know, you can't have Kohler in the lineup. Let me tell you this. That ball that was hit on Friday that could have been the last play of the game that Caglione hit, Caglione has unbelievable bat speed. And so when you hit a ball off the cap with the bat speed that Caglione has, it throws a frisbee out there that sits sideways in the ground. You can see Kohler making a move to his right, and the ball actually spins back to his left. That ball had a lot of spin to it. He'll tell you he should have made that play. But let me tell you this. It was and you always have balls that have spin to them sometimes. But that ball had an inordinate amount of spin to it. And so to think that this guy is not a good third baseman because he did not make that play is a little bit searching for something right there. So going back to your point, Charlie, I thought you might see him back in the lineup yesterday just to give him a day off. I do think if you played the game on Tuesday, you would probably see him back over there. Am I wrong for saying that?
I don't think you are. I think that's what you'd expect.
Now, I mean, if Nate Chester had gone 4 for 5 yesterday, and if he'd had, you know, gone 3 for 7 the rest of the weekend, you may see that. But this is not a knock at Nate Chester, but I just think you're probably a little bit better defensively over at third base with Logan Culler. He's kind of giving you that sample size over the first half of the season. The other question becomes, okay, Amani's having a tough time right now at the plate at the top of the lineup. You know, he was 1 for 11 this past weekend. And so as your leadoff guy, I mean, you consider dropping him down. Do you consider putting Mershon at second and Cup at short and then, you know, bringing another DH in the factor here to give him a couple days off? I mean, there's a lot of – that's the thing about baseball. And going back to, you know, what we said about the game on Saturday is allowing Nate Chester to get in there. We've got some guys we can replace with this year. It seems like we have more depth. If someone's going through a lull and you need to give them a day or two, we actually have the pieces that can do that.
All right, but here's the bottom line. We're going to beat this thing to death if we're not careful. The bottom line to me is this. We're playing better. We're competing. Now what we have to do is put it all together and win. And look, we're ahead of, candidly, where I was afraid we might be. I mean, this team is having to learn to win again, and they're learning to compete. Big weekend coming up.
Really is. And the way we bounce back on Saturday tells you a lot about this team.
Because, and to me, that was the story.
The story of the weekend is the way you bounce back after that tough loss on Friday, the way you played on Saturday. Let me tell you who else is a winner, Charlie, who else bounces back, who also does a good job. And
why would they have to bounce back? If they're winning, why do they need to bounce back?
Well, there are always negative
Maybe
things
you say
that happen.
You have to, they help you bounce back.
They're always –
you're going to go like cannon forward. They help you bounce back if you've – like yesterday, last week, you were trying to go into cannon forward talking about driving illegally and causing accidents.
Well, that guy who jumped over the curb on Highway 12 is going to need a new car, or he's going to need the body shop one. He is going to need that.
You got to learn how to do this. Have you been a victim? Have you been harmed through no fault of your own?
Cannon Ford of Starkville on Highway 182, just east of Starkville. And newer used cars, Cannon Ford. They have a great body shop. And then the service center as well. They're open on Saturdays now. If you need a spray-in bed liner, if you need new tires, if you need an oil change, whatever you need in the car world, our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville. And if you don't need a Ford, if you don't want a Ford, if you're brand specific and you like some other brand other than a Ford, then they can find – they have all these Cannon dealerships around the state of Mississippi and the neighboring states, and they can find you whatever you want. But here's the great thing about them. They're good people. Chris Keene and his great staff at Cannon Ford, they'll get you taken care of. And we're also brought to you by our friends at Maroon & Company in the Cotton Mill Marketplace. Maroon & Company, for all that great Bulldog Initiative gear and the Mississippi State gear, go to Maroon & Company or go to maroonandco.com and type in the code NIL10. They'll give you a 10% discount. They'll send 5% back to the Bulldog Initiative. All right, Charlie, big time right now for the Bulldog Initiative. You got basketball, everybody kind of resetting rosters right now.
You saw Cam Matthews announce that he's coming back. That seems to me to be a big piece for basketball. And then Kanye Clary coming in from Penn State, left-handed guard, point guard, I think you would call him, but, I mean, the guy can score 17 a game. And the thing I like about him, it's not just 17 a game. It's 17 a game in a grown-up league. And to me, that says something.
Well, the Big Ten is a physical brand of basketball, and that's what the SEC has kind of evolved into this year, is a Big Ten style of physical basketball.
So more to be seen and heard hopefully soon in a lot of different places. Still need some things. Still need some pieces.
Did you watch basketball this weekend?
I did. I watched Rick Barnes do Rick Barnes things.
I couldn't understand why they didn't go more of the three-point shot. They were hitting the threes from the outside, and they were missing the mid-range shots, but they just kept on taking mid-range jumpers. At one time, they were like 2 for 20 mid-range.
Did you see the Alabama shot chart, by the way?
I did not.
Oh, it's phenomenal. So they did a shot chart from their game the other day, and everything was a layup or a three-pointer. There were no mid-range shots. I think there was one shot outside the lane, and I think I'd heard like – In the last two games, they've taken two mid-range shots.
Well, I was going to ask you this. One of the big things about that people are saying about Nate Oates, and you and I have given Nate Oates a little bit of an ire here on this show about just rolling the ball out there and just saying go and playing, and how he hired a third-party analyst this past year to kind of look at how their points were scored. I think everybody has analysts to be our consultants. But long story short, I mean, is Nate the guy's got it figured out? I mean, layups and three-pointers, nothing else.
Well, he's just been watching the NBA. I don't know that that's a real secret, right? And what I mean, if you go look at the NBA, there's no mid-range game. And but even Pitino, now it's obviously a much greater deal now. Remember when Pitino went to Kentucky, and the deal was if you took an 18-foot jumper, you were coming out. I don't care if you make it or not because it's a dumb shot to take. The lowest percentage two-point shot is
– the 18-foot jump shot.
Yeah, just – back up a foot, and your effective field goal percentage is significantly better.
I watched NC State yesterday. Yesterday had to have been the best basketball day in the history, and it was, no doubt, the best basketball day in the history of NC State basketball because you had the women going to the Final Four, beating Texas.
Wait a minute. They won a national championship under Valvano.
But I know, but still, they went to women going. But this team is
Derek
even a,
Wittenberg would Baird.
This team is even
disagree
a,
with
is
you.
Even a lesser seed than that team was. And them getting to the Final Four, they had to win five straight days in the ACC tournament just to get into the tournament. I mean, if they had gotten beaten in the ACC championship game, they would not have gotten into the NCAA tournament.
They were about to fire their coach.
And this, they're playing in the Final Four. Purdue beats Tennessee, and then UConn just looks like the team's just wrecking everybody right now. They look like the modern-day UNLV.
How many titles did UNLV win?
Only one, right? 1990?
That was it, wasn't it?
They just blew Duke out of the water in 90, and then Duke beat them in the semifinal in 91. But in 1990, they just absolutely destroyed everybody. 90 is when they played Duke in the championship game and won by like 30, but earlier in that tournament.
Was that the Loyola Marymount
year? Yeah, it was just a crazy game.
And then it was Houston that NC State beat. And that would have been in 83 that NC State won that championship.
That tells you how far basketball has come because that 83 championship game was played in the pit in Albuquerque, New Mexico, just a regular old arena.
Can you imagine, like, trying to play even a regional game?
Yeah, just
an old arena
just
now.
Just an old regular arena now.
It would just never happen.
No. I mean, you got stadiums that they're, you know, putting a stage on top of the – in the middle out there and you're getting 90,000 people.
All right, so we got a big week ahead. We've got Georgia coming up. We've got Central Arkansas tomorrow. Spring football is still underway, and they have been they get up early and get to working over there. This is a group that doesn't mess around. They do a lot of morning practices, so they've been going.
I have not been to spring football practice yet.
I'm not big on going to spring football practice, but hearing a lot of good stuff about some of these young guys. And then the other thing that I've heard here recently is that this past weekend, defense looked better than they've been getting credit for. All we've been hearing, you know, is all
the offense not doing well? I mean,
that's the thing, right?
Yeah. Okay, hey, you've got the Ron Polk Ring of Honor coming up this weekend. We're going to induct three into the six Ron Polk Ring of Honor class. Bobby Reed, Jim Ellis, and then Buddy Meyer from, I think Buddy played about 100 years ago, and a great player. But Bobby Reed, who was a great pitcher on those 89 and 90 teams, never lost a game at Duty Noble Field. And, of course, our affinity toward Jim and Jim going to that Ring of Honor class and what he's meant to Mississippi State baseball. So all that's going to happen on Saturday. And so you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Georgia Bulldogs. Tomorrow night, check your local listings. We play Central Arkansas tomorrow night at Duty Noble. Charlie and I will be back on the call, but make sure you check the weather and see if we're going to play that game. You know, the Bears of Central Arkansas, that was a team we had to beat in 2013 in the regional here.
Yeah.
And so.
Hey, I want to say a thing about Buddy Meyer, by the way.
Okay.
You're a little dismissive that your whole played about 100 years ago.
Sorry to the family sitting on the front row.
Well, he did. He hit 309 times in 17 years. He led the American League in stolen bases, and he played in two World Series. And in 1924, he had a grand slam to beat Ole Miss believed to be the first Grand Slam in the history of Mississippi State.
Although Buddy Meyer.
Buddy Meyer had a heck of a major league career.
And it's Meyer without the S. It's like Starksville. It's Starkville. Not Mullins. It's Mullen. And then Meyer. It's not Myers. Buddy Meyer. All right, Charlie, we also talked about Heartland Catfish the other day. Heartland Catfish, they're growing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want over the Mississippi Delta, all the way from their ponds to your plate. You can get it at great restaurants. We talked about the Crystal Grill just the other day. I got a text message afterwards that says, Bart, I go to the Crystal Grill all the time, and they got those high meringue pies. They get the catfish. I always get it blackened over at the Crystal Grill. They fix it fried, grilled, blackened, but it's broiled. But our good friends at Heartland Catfish, producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish, and they serve it in great restaurants around the Southeast, especially the Crystal Grill in Greenwood. All right, Charlie, anything else for the good of the cause before we start our work week on this glorious Monday morning?
No, it's time to get to work.
All right. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on Sunday Coffee on a Monday on the Out of Left Field podcast channel. Thanks for listening.